know that we have a quorum present, and who's present, so they'll get the name on the list as being the first one, so. And I know some of the other members are going to be joining us, so just add to the times when they're able to join. Okay. So, first order of business is approving the agenda, so I entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved. Second.
And one, before we, one discussion item is, Mr. Garnos, he didn't really have much to add at the moment because he's letting some data build up for the jail stuff, so so that's, you see, that's lined out on the agenda. So, all in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The agenda is approved. Okay. Next item is to approve the minutes from the last meeting, August 18th. Those are sent out online. I can pull them up if you'd like. Everybody have a chance to look at those, or would you like me to? Okay. So I entertain a motion to approve the minutes from last meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Is there a discussion? Please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Minutes are approved. Okay. So I think this meeting's going to be a little bit quicker. One thing I would say as we have discussion, and I want to include people who are here observing, so thanks for coming. And the thing to, we have to get through our agenda. I want to keep it quick. And if all else fails, some of us will probably stay after. We can answer questions after we adjourn if all else fails. And there's also time, there's an open item on the agenda as well. So this, you all remember the four instructions for us as from the county commission. And if you look at this chart, the message here is it's gradually getting greener. So I don't think I printed this up in your slides because it's getting kind of old because you see it over and over again. But it's gradually getting greener. On the one thing I would note is that it's going to be the complete analysis and the two sections for analysis. It's going to be hard to get those completely green before the, you know, up until the very end. Same thing with criteria. On the court and the jail, however, I think because we have consultants working with us, we'll get those most of the way down. And then obviously it's going to be a while before we get to the options development. Okay. Any questions on that? And then zooming out a little bit, this is a different look. I showed a chart similar to this a few months ago, but it's the idea here is to show, kind of give you the whole picture. So we have our four steps. Sit where you want to. What's going on?
Sorry, I'm late.
So just, this is similar to a diagram I showed a few months ago. Hopefully it's a little easier to read. But the yellow bands are the four instructions, plus a couple of the other things, design and construction. The gray are the things that we got to do in order to complete that process. So they're not necessarily steps in and of themselves, but things that help us get the steps done. So the key things here to know, you know, this is instructional. When we looked at the stuff done before the vote, and we issued a short, very brief report. So that's why that's green. So the diamonds are kind of the significant points, we call them milestones. And then what we're going to be looking at tonight is the court report and the historical preservation report to see how those look to us, and if we're happy with them, sending forward to the county commissioners. This is the National Institute of Jail Operations. That's a report the sheriff had done, you remember, that dealt mostly with operations and some things about a quick look at the current state of the jail. That one's done. And then Mr. Garnos is probably going to wait either another month or maybe two to let, because there was such a change in the way that in the jail population, to let that data accumulate a little bit. And I can say a little bit about that as we get later on in the agenda. And then this is the part we're going through right now. So we're plowing through all these things. Like this is things that we have, conversations that we have amongst ourselves, so to speak, like historical preservation. Perhaps as we get into options, we talk about what would be a thing. You know, could you move a such and such an office that may not be related to the court, but may be related to the whole process? The things that we need to consider, but what we want that the conventions don't tell us, that more depend on our view of things. And then the lighter colored are just places where we can begin, but we don't know how long it's going to take. Criteria, we'll be getting into that a little bit tonight. And if you're, we'll talk a little bit about the RFP, the request for proposals for a designer and architect. And then I think the rest you can memorize at home. All right, so the first real thing on the agenda is to talk about the report from the board. What I'll do is, I think you're probably pretty familiar with this document, so I'll hit the high points. Please, anybody on the committee, if you stop me if you have questions. So turning to page, I'm just going to, if you want me to back up, or you want me to, if you saw something in your reading that you want to address, please let me know, because otherwise I'm just going to hit the high points of the report. So the first thing was looking at caseload and how that's changed over time. And that's on page 9. So the significant thing there, the different colors are the different types of cases. So that's just a plot of the data over time. Now, what that really gets, though, is on pages 11 and 12, where it starts to talk about projecting that out. Okay, and all that, just for everybody's, I know Mr. Sales talked about what the different lines meant, but essentially those are different models of projection, different ways you can project out. And the blue line, the thing you see, over time you see steady growth, particularly if you look back at when the courthouse was built until now, you see a steady growth, not drastic, but it's it's not like a swoopy exponential curve, but it's a steady kind of diagonal straight line. Since you have different ways you can look at the data, the blue line is what's called the planning target. And so kind of averaging all those out, all those different ways of plotting the data and the different using different assumptions, they recommend a 12% planning target. So 12% growth from 2013. Okay. So that kind of drives what we're going to need in the future, and what we should have now. Okay, then moving on to, related to that, jury trials, on page 14. So the interesting thing there with jury trials, unlike the caseload overall, is that there's a steady decline. It's a slow decline, but it seems to be steady, and it's irregular because you're talking fairly small numbers. This is happening not just here, but it's happening nationwide. For whatever reasons, jury trials don't actually end up taking place very often. Okay, so, and our annual average is somewhere between 8 and 9 right now. And so that's going to have an impact on how many jury suites, jury deliberation rooms, is on the table. And then the other thing, this was slightly revised from, I think, the last draft, or maybe two drafts ago. This is on page 15. This is the grand tally of the number of people. So one thing to note that's interesting here is, I think the significant growth is in the court services. One other thing, a question I have in the back of our minds is that there are two court reporters throughout. So if we have three, you know, two circuit judges and a magistrate judge chambered in Cumberland County, we might want to just keep in the back of our mind the need for another court reporter. So, Mr. Mack, do you have a question?
I don't know if it's court services. It looks to me like the state's attorney's office.
Yeah, there's growth there too.
Yeah. And that's as much as court services.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So we have a growth, okay, state's turning growth in one assistant.
Yeah, 2.5 FDEs, you're going from 2.5 to 3.1, half the growth is coming from the state's attorney's office.
Okay. That's a good point.
Hey, Lee?
Yes.
Where it says current FDEs, is that what they say we should have?
That's what we say we have.
That's what they say we have.
That's what we say we have.
Okay.
So they asked us.
So there isn't much change. I thought there was, in our prior statements that we had, I thought there was a big change in what we currently have and what they say we should have at this
floor,
time.
In floor space, there is. That's significant.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a balance of what's realistic, you know, given budgets and things like that, and the input of the court administrator at the circuit level. So it's a balance of that and kind of what we should have. And so for the most part, they look to the UJS to say, this is what we think is realistic. This is what we think is realistic growth in the next 20 years.
For staff personnel.
Yeah, for staff personnel. So, Mr. Mack, you have a question?
Just a question. Law cases that came out of Pennington County and everything with their court services and things like this, are we looking at keeping this all in this unit? Out there, they determined that court services and all these things, as long as they were within a reasonable distance, it's all could actually be separated out from the courts. The probation office, court services, all this. When that went to the Supreme Court in Pennington County, they said it did not have to be a part of the courts and so on. It had to be accessible and stuff, but it actually didn't even have to be in the same building any of these issues. And I'm just bringing it up because as far as the planning and process and so on.
Can I stop you? I think I answer your question. This report's not really about that. It's just about how much floor space they need, not necessarily where it's going to be or how it's combined. Especially with court services, now it is about how spaces are adjacent to each other when you're talking about judges' chambers.
I agree on that. So, no.
Okay. But yeah, as far as I'd say the bottom line though is it's an amount of floor space in different types of floor space. Okay. Any other questions on? That's kind of where this drives a lot, actually, this particular table. So, okay. This is one of the more useful things, I think, as far as we think about when we think about criteria that we're going to need on pages 17, it goes through and talks about different goals another way to say that, criteria when you're designing a courthouse or a court facility. So goal one is, projecting the image of justice. So, the kind of building you don't, probably shouldn't be a pole barn. unless you're trying to, depends on your image of justice, I suppose, but in this country, we have our own, so I won't belabor that point. Goal two is probably the most important, is to get the job done. That's our things arranged so that they're excited to get the job done. As far as how the court needs to function. Number three, they would accommodate, obviously the short term, what we're doing right now. One second, Mr. And the long term needs. So this is something where we're thinking of, this I think is a very important point when it deals with expandability and whether or not, how much are we going to burden on future generations for 30 or 40 years from now. So that's something, what is the most cost effective thing in the long run. Mr. Hahn, did you have a question? Did you still have a question, Mr. Hahn?
Yeah, I'll go back to goal one. What does that mean, image of justice?
I can read what it says in the report. Court facility should be designed to convey an image of dignity and solemnity and a sense that the facility is one in which justice is done. And then it talks about some of the details of that. That courtrooms look the way they do, because they... the idea is to project that dignity and...
Wasn't established justice in that? Is that the same one that said the purpose of this is to establish justice?
No, the purpose of the country, our country and our state, is to establish justice. That's in the Constitution. So that.
But it's part of the... It's right on the front page. If you got, you're looking at the...
Can we come back to this later on, Mr. Hahn? I think we need to move on. So
I think it's important. If we're going to establish justice...
Mr. Hahn,
we have to have a full picture before we start building buildings, hiring more people.
Mr. Hahn, if we want to talk about things that are off the agenda, I'll talk about it afterwards.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for coming. Okay. Any questions on number three? That I think is an important piece of criteria. For the future, and so we consider, you know, what can we make things that are expandable? I mean, do we want to think about growth in staff beyond those 20 years? So that goal four deals with handicapped access to the ADA, and then also making things friendly to the public, so the public can navigate the facility. Get to the things that they need to quickly, so that, you know, if there are other county offices, we can building, if we want to make those the easier things to get to. And also it has to do with security screening. Safe and secure, I think we talked a lot about that. It has to do some of the relationships of the different spaces, allowing for secure patterns of circulation between, say, for inmate witnesses, the public, or judiciary. And numbers, goal six, they even says, this was interesting, you don't build courthouses every day, but allowing for the maximum use of technology so that, which contributes to goal two, the effectiveness of court operations. But I guess the point there is that you have to design the building to accommodate that technology. Okay. That you probably remember this diagram from previous meetings, but this is an important point. But it kind of summarizes or supports goals 2 through 5. So the key thing here are all the adjacencies. So this is the bottom part of the slide is where judicial office, you know, judges' chambers and other things related to the court. And there's not a direct connection, but a corridor between those offices and courtrooms, so that you can use different courtrooms depending more on the kind of trial it is, as opposed to a judge having their own courtroom. So that's a key aspect for this whole thing, to save the space. So you can make courtrooms of different sizes. And then the center red square are the that's the place for the secure entry for inmates, so people can be brought up from the jail and then. You know, if the jail's disconnected, you're going to have to have some kind of a facility. We saw that in Douglas County, Minnesota, where you had some kind of a separate, kind of a holding jail and a sally port where you can bring people in. And then the green areas are where the public would come in, and blue is interface. In other words, where all those three different populations meet. So, you're preaching to the choir. Okay, then this is a difference I'm pretty sure you didn't see. I mentioned it briefly, but this is the space needs all rolled up. So this is what we have now, basically, and this is just court and state's attorney. Okay, so the larger number is taking into account plumbing, heating, all the gross square footage that you need to build a building. And this is basically office space, individual office space and general office space for the different offices added together. This is what they say we should have now. Okay. And this, by the way, you'll notice these numbers start to differ, because this set of numbers is if the jail is co-located, so it's actually connected to the courthouse. So you'll see you don't need quite as much square footage, because if you don't connect the jail to the courthouse, you have to build an additional sally port and some kind of a holding set up. And so that adds to your expense, adds to your square footage. So one of the things you have to take, you know, that'll impact construction costs. So you know, the big thing there is that we let's just read that with two separate things, with and without the jail. Any questions on that? This is kind of the bottom line of that of the report. It's page 27. Okay. And then these are the things that I think we kind of need to talk about on our own, what the report tells us to think about. How are we going to handle an additional jury assembly room? And I think an architect or somebody like that can help walk us through that discussion. Since the jury trial, the number of jury trials is going down, do you need more than one jury deliberation suite? Jury assembly room. So this is, you know, when we have a jury call. So right now the plan, their recommendation is just to use that large courtroom. So they're recommending three big courtrooms, one really big one, and use that for jury calls. The possibility, though, that you might want to have a separate jury assembly room is something we need to talk about. And again, I think that's something that we have to talk about. Remember what I just said about jury deliberation rooms? Do we need just one, or should we have some kind of room that has the flexibility to be a second one? The law library question, we're talking a little bit about the survey. We don't have a law library at all in the courthouse, right? I mean, there's nothing there for people to use. So the question, this is part, I talked briefly with Megan about maybe surveying the members of the bar somehow, maybe using surveying to quickly say, just to give us a quick read on how important the law library is. So, and there, just one second. The key thing there is that, and make sure you look at the footnotes on the, it says footnotes on the final pages. The key thing there is that the law tells us to have a law library. But now, what the consultant recommended was think about a public library as a way to do that. And they recommend very specifically, they say if you want to do something large, do it in the public library. Otherwise, just have, they recommend like a computer terminal. Or some, or a couple, you know, workstations in the courthouse. So, did you have a question, Mr. Mayor?
My only suggestion would be that because the Supreme Court and federal law requires that prisoners have access to a law library and everything too, if the jail and the courthouse are combined, that we turn around and look at some way that we could turn around and provide that with one site that is accessible both for court staff in the courthouse and the jail versus having separate libraries, separate subscriptions and so on.
Yeah, that's
to the law library. That's just my only suggestion. I'm sorry.
Somebody, was that you that mentioned that to me before? Somebody mentioned that.
I brought it up, the fact that, I do know, and I think Toby verified that one of the requirements is that prisoners have access to a law library. Well, if we've got jail and courthouse together versus paying multiple subscriptions and things to the law subscription service, that we go and do it with, find a way that we can do it with one. And that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, if we can, there are concerns about sharing subscriptions, but I don't know what they all are between, say, the unified judicial system and the jail.
A law library now just can consist of a computer online connection.
Yeah. You don't need all the books. So we can save space that way. So the question is, you know, what does the community employers think? Do we even need to do that? It's kind of a question. But it seems to me that that's pretty.
Well, I think the idea your lawyers are probably all going to have access to some type of legal research. It's the public that you need to keep it. The public has the right to have a place to come and research the law. And, you know, I think that's why the statute is in there.
Wouldn't necessarily, the public isn't going to feel comfortable necessarily coming in and sitting down next to a prisoner to go and access it. But all I'm asking is if there's any way that we can do one subscription and we have an access for the public and also the access for the prisoners that we got to provide.
There are only on the people table. There were only two court reporters, so they kind of noted that. Like, since there are three judges chambered in Cottonwood County, like, does the magistrate typically have a court reporter?
So, I mean, I don't know specifically what UJS's plan is, but I don't think the plan is for magistrates to have court reporters. What they use is an FTR system. It's a recording device. And there are two magistrates now in the circuit, and there's one person that travels the circuit with them to run the recording device. So I don't know.
It's called FTR.
I'm not sure that court reporters will be added to magistrates.
And then again, we talked about whether or not the jail is separate from the courthouse, and that's something that I think it'll kind of come out in the wash as we go through our criteria. So that is the last slide for the National Center State Courts report on our court space needs. So, are there any other questions about this? If there are no questions or comments, I'd entertain a motion to approve this report and recommend to the Board of County Commissioners.
I'll make that motion.
There's a motion by Ms. Grumman. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. So, is there any discussion? Okay. If you're in favor of forwarding this report to the Board of County Commissioners, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Say no. Is there a point of discussion?
Just that I know what they're saying in here as far as space needs, but I have no idea what they're allocating for each individual office. You know, so that's
okay.
I'm not saying that they're out of line or not, but we have no way of knowing. You know, like, are they having office space for an individual conference office for an attorney client? You know, is it 10 by 10 or is it 20 by 30?
Okay.
Yeah, that's...
Okay, that's quite honestly, I know we just voted on it, so the motion does carry.
Yep.
But I do think we should answer that question to understand where the report is. If you go through the tables in the back, it gets you closer to that. However, that level of detail is going to be beyond the scope of this report.
Right.
So, and that's for example, on page 30. It starts talking about things like the staff break room, staff galley, restrooms, file storage. So it gives, and even the conference room. So it gives some pretty, it doesn't give a space for the conference room, but it mentions that's included in the building support. So that would be something that's like a shared conference room. So I think it's giving pretty specific amounts per person. So, and that's kind of the intent there. And then the idea is that, you know, the architect helps us sort that out, how that's arranged.
These don't look out of line, I mean, but it's got to be a stick in the mud somewhere.
Okay, so, yeah. Any other questions while we're on the topic? Motion carries what's approved. So what that means is that we get to pay this guy when he bills us for his expenses. By the way, the work was basically free. It was a grant, essentially. They didn't call it that, but it worked into the National Center for State Courts Technical Assistance budget. But they did ask them to pay for their expenses, so they made one trip out.
I don't disagree with it. My only point that I want to make is that this report is as it is, and I've got no big arguments with it other than the fact submitted to the commissioners without any background. It gives the assumption that some of these services that are part of the courts cannot be severed, that they got to go and be part of the same unit, same building, and so on, when under South Dakota law that they don't.
Yeah.
The other thing it doesn't do is address, are there ways that we can adapt some of the space that we got to go meet these needs?
Yeah.
But I don't disagree with any of the assumptions in the report. It's just if you go and lay it down in front of a commissioner without some of this other background, yeah, they may come up to an incorrect or an incorrect assumption.
Well, this is pretty raw square footage mm-hmm. recommendations, and I think I don't agree with you on one of the points. I mean, it's intended just to be something that this is a baseline set
yep.
of criteria you can hand to an architect. I don't agree though that it says that, for example, that the state's attorney and say that court services office need to be co-located with the court.
No, and I agree with you. It doesn't say that, but the natural assumption, if you're going to lay this down in front of a commissioner or something, is that this all has to be a part of the same unit. And well, under South Dakota law, it does not happen.
It's not saying that to me, but it does say you have to consider efficiency.
So I agree.
Goal number two.
I have no arguments there.
Okay. All right.
So I just had a question for the public. That one chart was not real clear.
Which one?
Do I understand, is a chart that said that currently they have about 10,000 square feet in the current building for court services.
Yep.
And they need roughly 20,000.
28.
Well, whatever, 30. Yeah. But then it sounded like, I thought the chart said, if you move some of the non-court services out, then you would gain another 10,000 square feet in the existing court.
No,
that was
that.
Not in that
no,
chart.
It doesn't say that.
Well, it wasn't real clear.
No, it didn't say
okay.
that. All it said was that this is what we have now. So I would say this is what you really have, third floor states attorney, floor space together. This is what you ought to have based upon your caseload, based upon the personnel you have working there. And then based upon the caseload projection, and based upon what you're telling us is going to be your growth in personnel, the consultant says, and you should have a little bit more 20 years from now. So that's
ideal.
Okay, but then that. There's nothing in there that says if you move the non, like the assessor, the auditor, the treasurer.
That's nothing about it. It's not about
there's
that.
Nothing in there about if you move those out.
No, that is.
Then you would gain that space in the courthouse. There's nothing about
that. Well, it's space, but also remember that I don't want, this is the last thing I'm going to say, we need to move on.
But just
remember that if you read through those goals, and this is all online, okay, you read through the goals, it talks about what we're talking about. Okay, so we're talking about how these things relate to each other. So,
okay.
So yeah, you might find floor space in a particular building, but is it gonna answer the mail in terms of the adjacencies that you need in order to have a safe and secure court facility? That's kind of it's as much about that as it is about space, the amount of space. Okay, thank you for the discussion. And now we have, a few months ago, we had Christy do some hard work for us on going through outlining the history. And she took a good hard look at the courthouse and wrote up a lot of comments that are in the form of a report here. This is also, the draft is also online if you want to take a look at it. But that's this I think is a little lay down of what things we might want to think about when we're talking about historical preservation. I out in the community, there's obviously a concern that we're going to, that if the county does something for it, wise, that we're going to do something to our beautiful current work. So that letter maybe wasn't the best color, but anyway. Thank you.
So the report consists of a short history, which is kind of what Christy went through the last time she talked to us, and then hits on some of the preservation, the things we need to preserve, some of the issues that we have just with having an old building, and then some specific recommendations. So I won't really go through the whole report, but I do want to hit the thing I want to stop on are some of the challenging things. Not so much the history that we already went through, but things that we need to preserve. So, and just chime in if you want to, Christy. So, if the two basic things, big things, Commissioner McElhaney is joining us. The two big things would be to preserve our rotunda and all the core stuff around it. And the north facade, I think we kind of hit on those before. That's what this report says. And one of the places that come in, it's kind of an obvious thing when you see the courthouse, but if you look at, this is a snippet from the application to the National, to have the building added to the National Register of Historic Places. And if you look there, it talks about the interiors, ornate, spectacular, one of the best in the state, and that but the outside is pretty nice too, basically, is what it says. So, and that basic idea is that we need to deal, obviously preserve the rotunda, and then the north facade is the key exterior feature. Stop me if you want, I'll keep going. The other thing, if you recall, Christy went through different approaches you can take to historical preservation. And these are, everything from restoring to, the way it worked, gas lights and the whole thing, if you want to, or just rebuilding the whole thing. So, but the basic thing that the report is recommending is that we, and this is kind of a thing that can be applied as a criterion, that you do what you got to do to make the building modern, but at the same time you want to maintain the character of the building. And one of the things, I thought this was kind of cool, that you picked up on this, that you have a real consistency in the design of the building. So one finial is from the commissioner's chamber, one finial is from the third floor, so you see a consistent way, which I know for all of us who aren't interior designers, this may not seem like a big deal, but if you want your facility to look nice, whatever you do to it has to echo those same, that same style, I guess, that it had originally when it was designed. Okay, so we get to the recommendations. Whatever we do has to address the key functionality issues. So the lack of handicapped access, we talked a lot about that. There are no sprinklers in the current courthouse. So I know there are things you can do. Some of those things might be pretty expensive, but there are things you can do to address that. And then just these are some things to note, maybe for somebody else, maybe not for our committee, but since Christy had a good look at the courthouse, we noted some spots that really probably do need attention at some point. That just you can take a look in the report if you want to. Some deterioration in the paint, and some of the repairs that weren't really, but historically kind of a repair that kept with the historical character of the building. So like drywall, you find drywall screws in the woodwork. I mean, that's probably not really historical.
Well, and I think another thing is if you intend to use this building, the drop ceiling helps with some of your efficiency, but it doesn't stop the ceiling from crumbling behind the drop ceiling, So those are things you need to look at too.
So that this says, that some of that's not really within our, probably something that we're going to deal with in this, but we're going to look at other ways just to have it in mind.
One of the things that we did find was that when they built this building in 1929, the commissioners decided that they weren't just going to slap up a building. They tried really hard, and they made a serious effort to make it beautiful. And I think you know, we need to honor that in whatever we do going forward.
Yeah. I think that's what, that's the sense I get when you talk to people anyway. So that's basically it. I think the key thing is if you turn to the last part of page 8 of the printed report, the key things to emphasize are the preservation that we really, really care about, are the Rotunda and the North Exterior side. If anybody wants to ask about that, or you have any other ideas what to add or take away, we can talk about that. And then the approach we take tries to keep with data. Whatever options deal with that might deal with this court, the actual courthouse, whatever facility options might deal with it, need to take an approach that tries to maintain the character of the building. So, and that's that top third of the recommendations page. So, any other discussion or questions about this? If this looks okay to folks, then I would entertain a motion to forward this report as well.
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner McElhaney. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Second by Ms. Crumman. Okay, is there any discussion?
Just wondering now, if it talks like on page 8, it says you got to address key functionality issues like lack of handicap accessibility, lack of fire safety equipment.
Yeah.
But now, in our current building, a lot of those we don't have to address the handicap access.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's so, to give you an idea what that would mean. I mean, this is a recommendation.
We're building.
Yeah, that might be the way you address it. Is if you add on to it, say if you add on, then all the restrooms in the addition better be handicapped accessible. It doesn't mean you necessarily have to go in and fix every restroom that's in there. It doesn't necessarily mean that, but you do have to address the needs that are there. So that's. That's what, and I'm the one who formatted this. I took Christie's word and formatted it, and so that's how I understand that. That's the official format. Fire safety is something we're going to have to address somehow. I don't know. You might have some idea. But Mr. Mack, question.
I don't know if you've got the answer, or lady from the Historical Society has the answer. I know that at a certain point, if you do a certain level of renovation or improvement in the courthouse, it actually raises the level of requirement for you as far as meeting ADA and some of these things. Can either one of you expand on that? Because
I would imagine you might be able to expand on that too, but I would imagine it's in the International Building Code, you know, as you get to a certain point. But here's what I would picture in my mind as a layman, is that we're not going to touch the rotunda that much if we do anything, and so we won't touch it, and therefore most of the addressing those issues, other than maybe fire safety, but addressing some handicapped issues, that's going to be addressed. And it would be addressed if you did an addition, for example. I mean, you have all the restrooms, obviously.
Well, I know from reading the ADA Act and things like this, when you get to a certain level of remodeling or restoration or whatever, you actually raise the level of requirement as far as for handicapped access and some of these things, where if you just maintain to a certain extent, you avoid some of that. But I don't know where that change comes, and that's all I was asking.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
and I'm sure the architects down the line or somebody will be able to.
And
say.
Probably the right answer would be to look at one of the two judges in the room, because that's where it's going to get decided. But basically, what you see in remodel, somewhere in that probably 10%, maybe 15%, maybe as high as 20%, you could get away with doing a smaller considerably small proportionate to size of the building project without encroaching the verge of somebody saying, okay, you took on a fairly chunk, fairly good sized renovation and you didn't address all these issues for all these years. Wrong answer.
Yeah, Rapid City got hit pretty hard on what they're saying.
I mean, you can do things to maintain. You can replace windows. You know, you can, you know, plumbing issues at a minor level. All of a sudden, you're going to replace all the plumbing in the building. You don't do that without addressing basically all the plumbing issues. Handicapped accessibility, fire, all that, you're going to lose in court. But, you know, you're doing a remodel job of one little area for record storage or something considerably, like, say, 10% of the building, probably not going to get held to the level of, well, you took that on, you should have fixed everything else. But
that's very useful. That's good background.
Wait. Explain that consultant that was on the phone with us that evening.
Mr. Sales?
Yeah, or did he come here in person?
The one that gave us the
report. Yeah, the one that came here in person.
Yeah.
But he did mention that if we had an addition on there, that was meant for the handicapped accessible. I believe he stated that you wouldn't have to do anything else in the rest of the building because that would cover all the handicapped, you know, you have your handicap accessible bathrooms and an elevator coming up or whatever.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Well, and I recall that too. If the majority of your public access is in the newer portion, yes. It depends on what you put in that addition. Because if it's just per se, you just add on a courtroom, but the rest of your building is public access, depending on how it's laid out, I mean.
Well, you made the statement somehow that if you added on to the west side, I mean, that was his example. And you made that all handicapped accessible going up, all up and down the whole thing.
Yeah.
Then you wouldn't really have to touch
the
old portion.
Right.
That's the question. Okay. So, we have a motion and a second for us to approve and forward this report. So I take off the words draft, of course, to forward this report to the Board of County Commissioners. So, any other discussion? So, if you're in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. The motion carries. That's two reports. Thank you very much for your help on that. So something solid to go on. Okay, good. Next item on the agenda is discussing our criteria. So I don't know, I'm not so sure that we need to take action, but we do need to start this discussion. What I want to point out as we go through this, I think this is one of the slides I have printed out. So it looks like the table. So, the thing we get out of what I want you to understand, and this is just a straw man. We can work off of this. We can add, take away, change. Is everybody fine? It's on the back side. It's on the back side of this one. One of the things we get out of the court report and the work of the historical societies, we start getting some concrete things that we know we want to do. So the way, let me explain the way the table is set up. So the first two columns kind of explain what the criterion is, or what the criteria are. The source is where do we get that? Is it just something we want to do? Is it, can we directly tie it to something concrete, some the work of somebody who wrote a report for us? And then the type column is the kind of criteria that, so the basic, and if somebody has any other ideas on how to lay this out, that's fine.
the must-do or the thing, the yes or no kind of criteria are the screening criteria. So if you don't meet a minimum floor space for a particular spot, or you want to, you have an option that, that would destroy the rotunda of the court, of the current courthouse, those are no-go options. So yes or no, that's a yes or no kind of thing. But on the other hand, you know, when you start talking about aesthetics at the bottom there, and which does a better job of keeping with the old style of the building or doesn't, well, that's something comparative. So that there's going to be a spectrum of options there. Same thing with cost options, so which one's cheaper, which one's more expensive. There's no particular point. We may discover a limit as we have discussions about what the appropriate limit of budgets and kind of the sense of things on cost. But so that's kind of how this is put together. So the other thing I would say is you'll probably notice some rough correspondence to those goals in the NCSC report. So there's things like efficiency. So that's a comparative thing, but you know, if you design a place, how efficient does it look like it's going to be? So things for example, like you have some efficiency issues if you don't co-locate the jail with the courthouse. You have to transport people in a vehicle, so that's probably less efficient in most cases. And we've seen some of the courthouses where we've gotten to visit. We've seen where you might be able to get an inmate witness into one courtroom very quickly, but for the other courtroom, you got to walk outside to the parking lot and get them. You know, you've seen those kinds of things. So, and those are, since we want to lay these criteria down and talk about them, because this is where we decide what we want, and we kind of push aside that emotion of, you know, whether or not we want to use a particular building in town in mind for office space or, you know, whatever the thing is. So the question we're always going to come back to is how well does it answer these questions. So I'd ask for any discussion or any reactions about that. I don't know if we have to take any action on them right now.
I just had a question, and you probably covered it. I missed it. When it has second to the end column screening, mm-hmm. What's that referred to?
That means you have to do it. So that's, you would screen out the options that don't meet that criteria. It's a yes or no question.
Okay.
So for example,
you're talking about,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's a yes or no question. So does this option like destroy the rotunda of the courthouse, or does it block the north facade? Then if it does, then we're not going to consider that option. That's what that's saying. Now the other thing I didn't really talk about is this last column on the right, the prioritization. So on the must do's, the screening ones are automatically, you got to do them. But the other ones, this is probably something that we're going to have to talk about over time, is how important is a particular criterion versus another criterion. So, and this is just my first go around. So I'm saying efficiency and expandability are pretty important things, because those are what are going to save us some money and help the court do what it's supposed to do, help the jail do what it's supposed to do. Construction cost, I thought that was slightly less important than expandability and operational cost, because that's a shorter term. That was my rationale, is that's a shorter term cost that we could put operational costs and expandability. That's something that's longer term. So that was my right. But if that's the kind of thing we need to talk about. If you disagree with that, then we need to talk about it. So I realize that we may not want to, I can't, may want some time to think about this. And then we might want to add to this the other thing that, and just looking at what other jurisdictions have done, is the architects have helped a lot with getting right, making this a lot more detailed, to the point where I almost couldn't understand.
The aesthetics, the last one, mm-hmm. I don't know. I think a lot of people think for instance, if we put an addition on, and I'm not saying we are, but I'm saying if we do, it would be nice if it blended in
right.
with the old building.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so I don't know if a three is too high of a number, or if the
but one is one is high. One is most important.
One is most important, right. So I'm thinking it should be a two at least, or something.
Okay.
That's my thought.
Okay. Sounds pretty good.
And that could all change down the road.
Okay.
So does it? Any other commission questions or suggestions? Any other criteria that you, any glaring errors you think that are missing here? So, all right, yeah, I can do it. Okay. Mr. Rack.
Is this going to change in the future as you get additional reports and so on, and taking the first issue, their minimum size required, type space, features, court, jail space, minimum space, colonial projection. You've got that coming from the NCFC report.
Yeah, right.
But court jail space, the jail space requirements were not addressed by the NCFC report.
No.
I'm assuming that you're going to go and
add
in the jail consultants and the other jail experts who've reviewed it.
I get it. That's why we'll have to add that in. I mean, I suppose to make it a little bit clearer, I could separate out.
Well, no, we haven't gotten it. You haven't gotten them yet, so you can't really add them in, but I'm just saying that that's a criteria that's going to be needed to meet some of these issues that you have.
That's exactly the idea. That's where that's going. So that's the point of this. I mean, I'm glad you saw it. You get it. It's just this is a work in progress. So
I understand.
And so that's what. Right now, it's a point of discussion. Eventually, though, we owe it to the county commissioners to say these are the criteria we recommend. So this is why.
One thing I'm noticing is if you truly base the projected building, whatever it is, by your minimum size required. Mm-hmm. Remember, that's a minimum required.
Right.
If you go minimum required, your future expandability has to be almost a must.
So you're saying, okay, well that's a good point.
Because if you build it bigger than the minimum, your future expandability could be a problem.
Well, then
if you're going by the minimum, I mean, you're shrinking it as absolutely as much as you possibly can to say this is what we need. Even with the professionals projecting the future, the chances are your future expandability is going to become an issue if you're lucky on 20 years, but probably sooner than later.
Would you say that to answer that question? I think that brings up a really good point because I mean that I think we can all agree that the 20-year projection is a must-do size, but the question is how far out do you want to make a must-do? It's 30, 40 years, and it gets a little hazy out there. But you know, how do we address that? I mean, maybe just to here's an idea is that for those kinds of expandability issues, maybe we need to have a strategy. You know, yes or no? Is there a strategy for expandability? And then the comparative part of that is how well does it look like it's going to meet those needs in 30, 40 years. And so maybe we need to add in some kind of criterion that says, does the option plan for expandability? And maybe that would be a way to do that. And then how it does that is the comparative part of that. So,
as I say, when you talk about meeting the minimum size. Now you can meet the minimum size of each individual cell if we're talking about that. But then having, like you said, expandability, like you have the pod sizes, we can add the minimum size required, but then have plans to be able to put out another pod if we need to.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you were referring to.
So
minimum size on the interior deals, but expandability for the whole thing.
How about we do this? I'll work on some wording for the next go around, for the next part of the discussion, and it'll say something. You know, I think you guys are saying kind of the same thing, but we can't just say that's comparative. We have to have a plan, a strategy for expansion. And you know, it might be an aspect of that might not only be building space. It might also be strategies. So, in other words, you know, the incarceration alternative thing, and understand that we're going to have to be thinking about that as well, possibly, or a combination of those things. And this is a bit of a digression, but since Mr. Garnos wasn't here, he shot us an email with some preliminary projections in the projections, but he spoke to that. He said almost the same thing in his email. He said that because we're seeing this spike right now, an unprecedented level of inmate population, that we need to have an expansion strategy. We need to be ready to do that. So, I'm going to give you my best call on the bed count, but it's going to depend. You don't know what's going to happen. Your policies can change. Make sure society changes. And so, Mr. Mack.
I sorely disagree with some of the comments I heard here. You've got this established as minimum requirements. The requirements you're looking at are the accepted standards for any new bill currently in the United States. These aren't minimum standards. There are significant facilities operating at significantly less than these space and requirements and meeting all legal requirements under the law and everything else. So you're calling them minimum requirements, but these are the generally accepted requirements that are out there right now. These are not the minimum requirements. And I'm not arguing that if you build, to the accepted standards that are there now, but you're calling them the minimum standards, and they're not. I mean, there's entire states that are operating at standards significantly below this. So these are not the minimum standards.
I think we're talking about minimum size, what we would want minimum size to be. We're not addressing minimum standards.
But right? That's what it says.
Pardon?
But that's basically what you're saying here. You know, it's minimum standards. These aren't necessarily
the minimum. The standard is not even up there.
Yes.
What we're saying, basically what we're saying, Mr. Mack, is we've asked these consultants to give us their recommendation.
I agree.
And so the question is, do we want to say this recommendation is something we will do? That's the issue. So if we decide that that's what we're going to recommend, then it seems like it's a pretty conservative. I mean, our view is that that's reasonably conservative. So that's kind of where we're going.
I'm not disagreeing with you that it isn't reasonable or even conservative. It is not the minimum.
Would it make you happy if we set our minimum needs? Because we're not talking about space requirements here. We're talking about our needs.
Well, here's I think we're good because we're talking about minimums based upon what it says in the source. That's the minimum they recommend. This is a point of.
I'm sorry, Lee.
We disagree that that's what they recommend.
I disagree with you because I sat here and listened to the individual from NCSC and so on.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, said, point of order. I'm not going to sit here and watch somebody from the crowd choose to argue.
Yeah, fair point.
Parliamentary procedure, the only time somebody from the crowd should be talking is during the open session. So, point of order, Mr. Chair.
I tried to be respectful. I'm sorry.
Mr. Max, we do have an open session. Discussion.
I haven't interrupted. I've only asked to bring points when you ask for it. I'm sorry if I disrupt anything. I apologize.
Okay.
We're not running in a true hard cut.
This is meant to. What we're saying, and to make sure that we're clear on this, is what we're saying is this is. What we are saying, this is the minimums that we're going to do. Sorry, it was a semantical difference. Just, we all recognize that these things are not enshrined in law. But we do recognize that our consultants gave us a report, and we hired them for a reason, so they gave us a recommendation.
The minimum size that we're looking at is the minimum standard that they were recommending, because it came from that report. Yeah. Although we don't have to go by that if we don't want to, but I'm assuming that we probably would.
You're right. We don't have to. That's the point of discussion. I mean, with all of these things, is do we want to say that's a screening criteria or do we want to say that's comparative?
That's really considered a standard is when you're dealing with the jails or the cells, which honestly, we just had this discussion that this is not even about the jails. This is the criteria on the court needs.
That's where we're at right now.
So the word minimum, which would be off of your your study right here, is your minimum space.
Yeah.
And they're projecting what we should be at for space and what our future space is. That's the minimum. So what? Mr. Wilder was correct saying, I think the word, what we're talking about, is minimum space needs.
Well, I can write it that way. But it's meant to be, this is just meant to be a work in progress. And so, and essentially what I'm suggesting is that when our consultants tell us that, you know, they're applying best practices, that's what they know about that stuff, or American Corrections Association standards, or whatever they recommend using, and that looks like a reasonable recommendation to us, we say this is the minimum. You know, the architect or the designer need these minimums. So that's all it is. So any other discussion on this? So this is something that we got. I think we're going to have to come back to this everywhere. You know, pretty much every meeting between now and. Well, for a long time, actually. Okay. So the other thing that we need to start and put a bug in our ears about is a request for proposals for a designer to help us flesh out options to a point where we can pick one. Okay. So, and I'm looking at what I did to kind of come up with this. And if somebody worked with RFPs before, I've looked around at other jurisdictions and to see how they've done this. And there's no set way to write an RFP. But essentially, at this point in the process, what we need to ask them to do is, and again, this is a discussion item, what we need to ask them to do is help us with the pre-design options. So working through those criteria, helping us flesh them out, and then coming up so that we can come up with some specific options with some specific cost figures. And some architects will even, they'll do both construction cost estimates and operational cost estimates. So that helps us with, you can see how that would help us with, most of those criteria, actually. Master planning just deals with, what's the step-by-step process for getting from point A to B. In the case of Minnehaha, they may, to look at their county, for example, their master plan may take years to do. They may build one structure now, another structure later. So those, working through those issues, facilitating our dialogue to flesh out the rest of what we need to do in terms of the analysis, making sure our criteria are good, and then any kind of phasing that we build this first, that second, or helping us work through those issues. So that would be the basic thing that we want to do. Questions on that? That's my take on it at this point.
Would we have to give them any direction at all? I mean, what would the cost be if we build a facility, jail, courthouse together somewhere, or if we added on to the courthouse to get the needed space, or a third option if we moved everything out of the courthouse and
I think the next point is going to answer that question.
Okay.
So I think the boundaries that we put on is some of the work that's been done already, so the facility criteria that we're asking the consultants to help us with, and also understanding the situation the situation we find ourselves in, the town we're located in. We went through a vote already once before, all the background dealing with our issues and kind of getting a sense of our need. And, in other words, how well did they do their homework? And that's kind of, we want them to understand that. And then applying the criteria we're asking consultants to do. And some of the things, I think the minimums we would want them to do in terms of option is, an option or more uptown, an option or more off-site. But I think you probably need more than just two options to think about this. But so, for example, jail and courthouse separate together. Can you do both together, say in an uptown option or not? All those, working through all those things. I think this might be a point though that we would want to discuss before we actually issue an RFP. Is if we can nail down
some specific, like we want, you know, an uptown one with and without, or we want an offsite one with and without a jail, you know, co-located. If we, or if we even come up with some specific locations as we start talking, you know, talking amongst ourselves, and then that can help the architect do a better job of designing something for a particular place. So, the more detail we can put in the RFP, the better the proposals are going to be. In a way, the harder the choice, in a good sense, will be. Submission requirements will be just, you know, when the deadlines, format, what specifically we want included in the proposal. Got to work on. I have to educate myself a little bit on that. So anybody that knows, that's familiar with the construction RFP, would be, if you have any background on that, that's always helpful. And then the big thing is, what do we care about? What's going to make us award one architect over another? So an understanding of our situation, understanding of the requirements, obviously experience and qualifications. That's one of the reasons we're going around looking at jails that are done by different architects. And then price, of course, we always care about price, but that's not the only thing. So the cheapest guy doesn't always save you the most money in the end. So this is another thing that I think we're going to be talking about until we issue the RFP. All right. Any questions? Discussion?
I would offer, if you want help with the RFP, Craig Atkins from Watertown Development Company might be a good person to at least dial in a little bit. He deals with them on a daily basis, and reviews from someone might be a good resource to.
Okay, that'd be good. Yeah, that's good. Because what I've been doing, there's quite a variety in the way they're formatted and the way they're written. I mean, throughout all around the country. Minnehaha had a nice, straightforward. I thought they had a very nice, straightforward RFP, and it went back and referred. They have a similar kind of committee to ours, and they referred those who wanted to give a proposal back to all the work they've done to their website. So, okay. RFPs. Okay. So just real quick, if I want to hit on the jails that we've been visiting. So friendly reminder, this is the inside of our jail. I think everybody here knows what the inside of our jail looks like. So it looks like a hallway. Okay, then we did Douglas County. I know this is a terrible picture, but Douglas County, Minnesota, the big thing there is you got desks that can look into, look into the pods directly. This one, the desk, that's a direct observation one that's right inside the pod. See there. And then for their indirect observation, they use the booking area to look across that corridor there. Lyon County, Minnesota. That's what it looks like. So you can see how these guys can see right into all the different.
And that's one-way glass, right?
That's one-way glass. Yeah. So from the inside, you saw it here. They let us go inside of one of them, and it was just a mirror on the inside.
Yeah. The inmates can't look and see if you're looking at them.
And then this is the same architect that did the Hughes County Jail. So this is one that you haven't seen yet, unless you went on the trip. So the existing part of the jail is on to the right of the line. Okay. So, and they have basically two control stations. They have a central control. This person's outside the secure area. They can monitor the lobby. But they can, their main function most of the time is to monitor all the doors all throughout the building. So they're watching on cameras to let people in and out of different spaces throughout the building. And then they can see down this corridor. They can't see all the way to the satellite control station, which is actually where you see all the different pods. Let's see. And then this part here does not exist right now, but this is planning for expansion. This is a flat pad, basically. But you can see the same idea that if you build on, right, there's a door right there now, a glass door. But the central control can see down there, you build another satellite control. So they have a strategy for expansion. And that's what it looks like in the satellite control. So you can see, you get a good unobstructed view into the pods. Okay, then the one we looked at was a week before last, was Yankton County. You can see, this is The best blueprint we could find is off the red. Commissioner McElhaney notices these kind of things. What's the floor plan on the fire alarm module? You can see they had the same intent. So they have this rotunda, they have a central control desk. You notice there's a wall around it. So that's actually almost like another little building within the building. So you have people sitting in kind of a booth here looking into these pods. And so they have the floor plan looks like it worked, but the execution is very different. And so you got two layers of glass you're looking through, and just the structure of it is very difficult to see clearly into those jail pods. And so what ends up happening is they rely on cameras pretty much just as much as we do. I'd say in some ways more so. And they just listening to the people that work there talk, they had issues with fights just like a lot of older jails would. You can't see a good portion of and the other thing that's funny about this that amazed us was that the inmates can actually see back into the control room, and they can see each other across the pods. So that caused a problem with the female pod. So I had to put a blue tarp over that. So it's completely. The person sitting at the central control, she controls the whole. The one efficiency here is they can control the whole building, but they're also tasked with looking at all the pods too. But then she has to rely on cameras in order to see to the female pod. So that was just an execution issue.
Another thing that was actually very kind of peculiarly strange was their upper deck. When you see like up above the pod in the blue, the only part of the second floor that's not there to like a cathedral is that tiny little triangle in front of the staircase.
Okay. You're talking about this right here?
Yeah, right there.
Oh, yeah.
All the rest of it is all a second floor. So like all these other jails, you'll see like this gigantic pod where in the back you see the second floor and the first floor, and that's it. If you look, see right there, that's the beam, that's the second floor. So like 95% of that whole entire pod is first floor, second floor. They have the little staircase in the middle, and then obviously they put the skylight above that staircase, but it's dark, very dark, to see underneath the bottom floor, I mean.
So it forces a lot of light, so pretty much, almost, I'd say, they probably trust the cameras. 50% of the
So they kind of, it's like they followed the guidelines of doing a pod with multiple levels, but it's like that was about all that they did to do that.
These notes aren't online. I have not put these notes online yet. The one thing that was really hazy to me, that what they did was they renovated an old courthouse, law enforcement complex. They renovated all their old stuff, and I'm not clear on how much money they actually spent. It sounds like it was a better deal. It wasn't as much, but there are limitations in space. I think what was probably the driving factor was that downtown Yankton footprint that kind of compressed everything, I'm guessing.
How many inmates is there?
132. But that included. So in the new part, that'd be 100. I want to say there were 32. They kept their old jail, which was for 32 people, 34 people. One of the other, like ours was.
Their new part was like far in that 95 to 100 bed or so, and the holding capacity, and then the old part was like the 32.
No, there was one inmate. There was one inmate that they pointed out. They walked us right into the space of the inmates in the old jail, and it was much calmer and more peaceful. It just seemed more relaxed in there, and it's meant to be kind of a lower security area, but they had one inmate in there that was maxed out on security level, but he just kept getting into fights in the pods, but he was fine back in the old jail. So
you would see, I've seen at least two if not three people that had rosy red cheeks as they were looking at the window, and when we asked the jailer, he's like, oh, we have several fights every day. That's normal.
A lot of those inmates were federal inmates, too.
Yeah, because the day that we were there, he said 64 inmates were federal, 26 were local.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll be able to get enough information on how they projected, but how many? Those less than half were local.
Yeah, 25
locals or 26 locals and 64 federal.
So I wonder how they projected out or how they planned, you know, their bed number.
It doesn't matter if they're renting out the space. If they get to max, then they just don't rent so much.
Yeah.
They had one inmate that was making $4,000 a month.
Oh, yeah, he's a CEO of a record company that's a white-collar criminal. He's there doing this. He's on the phone all day running his business. But they made money on his phone calls because they charged him. I don't think they're going to get that guy. The other interesting thing, because of the low number of local prisoners, they were covering their costs out of jurisdiction prisoners, which was that's probably not something we're
doing. How many courtrooms do they have up there?
They had three definite courtrooms. This I think was more or less an okay thing. The court part was, I don't have the slides on this one. I'll put them in the report. But the courtrooms were they had one large one, beautiful. Well, I thought well done large courtroom. Then they had a medium-sized jury-capable courtroom, and then they had a non-jury courtroom, and then they had a big meeting room that you could maybe hook up with ITV or something.
Yeah. They labeled them as four, but yeah.
The fourth one was really
the medium and the bigger jury-capable. The small one was the non-jury-capable, and then it was basically an oversized conference room.
Okay. I thought that was a pretty good layout, actually.
But they talked about they use that for, like, child custody hearings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where you didn't really need the whole courtroom layout to do that.
And they had a lobby area for the court services and the clerk of courts. That was a nice central waiting area, nice big, you know, service window. So that to me looked like it was pretty well thought out. So.
They mentioned something about the booking area should be a good size, too.
Yeah, the booking area, it was kind of weird because the jail was plenty big for the local population, but the booking area was, they thought, was way too small. So,
did you say they had an existing jail that they added on this new area to?
They added on, yeah.
And what about the courthouse,
they took a rectangular shaped building and basically added the same size onto it to make it a square. Okay. If you look at the outside, it's pretty much square.
Right.
This is more divide that in half. To the left is the old building, to the right is the new building.
Yeah. So this is only the second floor. So the first floor, this I think it's over here, was the old jail, but on the first floor.
Oh, okay.
And then we put the courtroom so you can see where's the big courtroom is. Is here. That was a really well done courtroom. You can see they could bring an inmate through here, they go in the elevator, come up, and then go into each of the courtrooms like that. The one bad thing is it walked right past the circuit court administrator. I mean, this was right in the midst of the judges' chambers and stuff. That's the only bad thing I thought was that passage. And then the judges' entrance would be here, public entrance over here. And then the smaller jury courtroom, and a non-jury courtroom, and then this is the oversized conference room. And the clerk of courts, and this looked like a really good setup because you come, you know, the public would come right up here, and you know, most of the time they're more likely to have to use this for this day to day than they would the courtroom. So that part was pretty logical, I thought.
So then the rest of the county offices are on the first floor.
They weren't all. I don't think all the county offices were in the building. The police department was also on the first floor too, and the 911, the dispatch was in there. So that was they had. The first floor, if it was on here, the sheriff's office was in this area, as I recall.
Yeah.
The first floor, the booking area would be over here on the first floor. The PD was about here on the first floor. So I think that's about right. Then the 911 was on the first floor about here.
Because on the first floor, it's the same entrance, right, by the stairwell?
Yeah.
The main entrance?
This is the court entrance, and this is the law enforcement entrance.
So where the stairs are,
That's just an internal stairway. But this was the entrance we walked in when they on the first floor when they walked us under here back over the somewhere over.
So their main entrance on the first floor when you come in is basically you had a nice wide festival or open area with you had the sheriff's office on one side, you had the police department on the other.
That's the entrance.
And then straight ahead was the dispatch.
So they didn't have being the courthouse. They didn't have the treasurer or the register.
I don't think they had all
they
that.
They had them.
They had that
else,
I think. Okay. I'll pull it. The first floor. The first floor one will be in the report. So.
Okay. What did their remodeling add on and everything?
They said $9 million, but I think that must only be the county's part of the bill. I can't. It seems like they got a. You know, it's possible they might have just got a really good deal that day, but.
Well,
I think if you saw the jail, you'd say,
they got what they paid for.
Maybe that one last.
The curtains are if you go back to that picture,
that one, the blue,
yeah.
That's the female pods.
Yeah.
So, it was three layers
of blue poly tarps from the oven.
Beg your pardon? The old jail or the.
Yeah,
oh, the smell?
Yeah,
they had a sewage issue that day.
So they did have one of those, what they call it, a muffin monster?
No,
they didn't talk about muffin monsters. They had a problem with that, though. That was a sore subject that they decided, that apparently theirs went bad, and they decided not to do it, not to replace it.
Oh, they had one before.
The county commissioner.
They, when they first put this in, they pretty much followed about every example of all the different, like the muffin monster is a major garbage disposal in the sewer line, so if they shove whatever down the toilet, it'll just eat it up, okay? Other systems are, if they sit there and flush the toilet too many times, it monitors how much water's going in and it automatically shuts off. If they try to, jimmy the electrical so that it'll overload the currents, it shuts the power off, you know, stuff like that. They have all these monitoring systems, and when we were there, the sheriff said after 8 years, pretty much, it can tell you not a single one of them worked. Mm-hmm. Not a single one. Because it was all just an absolute waste. They went to, basically, they put quarter-turn valves on all their water lines. The controller can monitor it. If they're over there playing with the toilet or they shove something in, they call a deputy, he comes over and he shuts the water off.
Now, I wanted Dakota County, Nebraska.
Yeah.
How new was that?
Well, the same age as actually it was probably a little older. I think they were both about 2007, 2008.
Yeah, that's right. It was about 2007. They had that muffin
monster. Yeah, they had the muffin monster. Yeah, that's one you missed.
Yeah. But they hadn't had any problem with it.
Let's we can continue the discussion, yeah. But this is good we need to digest this stuff so that helps us do that. So let's move on with the agenda. And is there any unfinished business? New business. One thing I wanted to note. Next time we right now the plan is to have Carrie from HSA come over and talk about some of the concerns that HSA has about jails, and it's also just good for our context, particularly the mental health issues in the jail. So that's going to be one point of discussion. If anybody has any other suggested agenda items that you can to sort through and digest, please let me know. So any other new business? Anything else? But before we adjourn, we need to talk about our next meeting. Right now, we tentatively set October 20th. Is that still good? One question I had, did we talk about October 27th as a possibility? Carrie Johnston from HSA. The 27th was better for her, but she could still make the 20th work.
It's pretty close to Halloween, I suppose.
suppose we could press up on costs.
Be ready.
We could be superheroes for justice.
Oh, we could be heroes.
Okay, 20th. Is 20th, or would the 27th work for everybody?
Well, last time we said the 20th, and that appeared to work with.
Yeah,
I've got so many people that are in here, so maybe we better stay with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we better stick with the 25th. Okay. And, Carrie said she can make it work. And then in November, that gets to start being it. I think we probably do want to have on the calendar at least one more for the year. This, we may be getting close to an RFP by that time. What about November, I wrote on November 17th.
17th is good for me.
That worked for everybody. That's bright. Okay.
What day is that?
That's a Tuesday again.
Be the third Tuesday of the month. Yeah.
That worked for everybody. All right, let's go ahead. They'll have a tea after, so we'll go ahead. And then we say that. And then I don't have any current visits planned, but I think we can space them out now. Like, we don't necessarily have to do them, you know, fast and furious at this point. I think we got a kind of a good orientation of what things look like. I understand that Noble's coming to Minnesota was a good justice center, kind of where everything's together, kind of combination that the county commissioners looked at. Did you all get to go to that? In Nobles or Worthington, Minnesota?
They have it all on one level.
Yeah, I think that would
have been, I
didn't go to that one.
But, you know, so that might be a good one. I think it might be good to do one that has everybody together. And then I'm thinking maybe Roberts County as well, since they're close by. But, and if anybody else hears anything, I'll keep researching that. But right now, I don't have any definite dates planned, so I'm not in as much of a little rush. And anything else on calendar issues? And then, so since we approved two reports, we get two green diamonds.
All right.
I hope that makes everybody feel better. So thanks for
the help.
Yeah. So that's so the next one is the jail report. Okay. So with that, I'll.
Okay.
For a second.
Second. I'll go ahead
and is there all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No.
Thanks for all the time you put in.